Okay, today we are in the book of Isaiah, and we pick up our study in chapter 29, verse 1. This is our 17th study in the book of Isaiah, and Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 29, verse 1. Woe to Ariel! To Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add year to year. Let them kill sacrifices. Ariel is Jerusalem. Now, God says, Jerusalem, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter how often you offer sacrifices to me. It says in verse 2, yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. I'm going to bring you more trouble than you can handle, God says to Jerusalem. Look at verse 3. And I will encamp against thee around about, and will lay siege against thee with a mound, and I will raise forts against thee. And this is talking about the huge army of the Assyrians, which surrounded Jerusalem in 701 B.C. Verse 4. And thou shalt be brought down, and shalt speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be like a medium out of the ground. And thy speech shall whisper out of the dust, so the voice of the Israelites will become weak because of their fear of the enemy. Verse 5. Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be like chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be in an instant, suddenly. The Assyrians threw a real scare into the Israelites by surrounding Jerusalem, but a huge number of them died suddenly, unexpectedly, in one night. And we're going to see that a little later on in the book of Isaiah. Verse 6, thou shalt be visited by the Lord of hosts with thunder, and with earthquake, and great noise, with storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. God will come to rescue Jerusalem, he says. 7. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her stronghold, and that distress her, shall be like a dream of a night vision. God will make all the foreign armies that threaten Jerusalem vanish. It's like a bad dream vanishes when you wake up. Verse 8 says, it shall be as when an hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he waketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he waketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. And so the enemy of God's people, the enemy of God's people will be like a hungry man who dreams of food but wakes up and is still hungry. God's enemies and the enemies of God's people will have big ideas of capturing Jerusalem, but God won't even let them into the city. And you can apply this to the persecution of Christians as well. And Satan himself, they may have big plans to devour God's church and to destroy Christians. And they may take your life physically, but they can't have your soul. And they won't win, no matter what kind of big plans they might have in place. They won't win. Verse 9. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry out and cry. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. God tells his people, you know, that they are behaving stupid like drunks. Well, why? Verse 10. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. They're acting foolish because God has made them confused. This is judgment for turning away from God. You wonder why people in our nation today do so many things that do not make sense? Self-destructive things, foolish things? It's because they have turned around and turned away from God. Confusion is often a judgment for turning away from God. Verse 11. And the vision of all has become unto you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one who is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. The words of Isaiah are like a closed book to the Israelites. The word of God spoken through Isaiah was like a closed book. They didn't understand the word of God. Verse 12, and the book is delivered to him who is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. See, God commanded Isaiah to speak his word, to speak the word of God. But he knew, God knew his people would not listen, nor would they understand. Verse 13, wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. In other words, these people come to the temple to praise me, but they do not mean what they say. Oh, God doesn't like that. He hates formal religion when it is not combined with a personal relationship and a personal desire to please God. 14, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. They turn their backs on God, so God will make their wise people foolish and their clever people stupid. Verse 5, woe unto those who seek deeply to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? God says, woe unto them. God says, those who behave as if God doesn't see what they are doing, they are in big trouble, because he does. 16, surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him who made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he had no understanding? Well, you know, what he is saying is, you know, God says, the Israelites, they have everything backwards. And they were so wise in their own conceit. They were so wise in their own eyes that they actually became foolish. They, the pot, thought they were more wise than the potter. That is, the one who made them, God. 17. Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And what a little while to God, what is a little while to God, may be a long while to us. We have to remember that God's sense of time is not the same as ours. Verse 18, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity, and out of darkness. And this happened when Jesus was here. Jesus caused the blind to see, and he caused the deaf to hear. Verse 19, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice and the Holy One of Israel. God will make the poor and the humble happy. Verse 20. For the terrible one is brought to nothing, and the scoffer is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. And so God is saying that things are going to be better once he removes power from people who are cruel. And there's a lot of things that fall in line underneath that heading. Look at verse 21. Who make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him who reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for nothing. Another reason things are going to be better is that God will put a stop to those who tell lies and thereby condemn the innocent. In other words, no one's going to be suffering the effects of slander. You know, slander is something that I hate so much, and I know God hates it too. We all do plenty of things that are wrong. We don't need people to make things up about us. Verse 22. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now grow pale. God promises his people that they will not continue to experience shame and trouble for simply doing what is right. God will rescue all his people, just like he rescued Abraham. Even though Abraham was not perfect himself, he was a man of faith. 23. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. God will ultimately rescue his people from trouble, and his people will appreciate it too. 24. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. We all need help. We all need help. Even God's faithful are not always as good as they should be, not always as sharp spiritually and mentally, for that matter, as they should be. But there is coming a time for God's people when knowledge will replace confusion, and humility and acceptance will replace complaining. And that'll just be a better time for everyone. And we'll pick it up right here in chapter 30 next time. Until then, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.